So do I go?
Oh, I didn't know that part.
This is worth repeating.
Okay.
This is worth repeating.
Live storytelling from Texas Public Radio.
I worry that I might turn into my mother, or worse, my father. My mother was a writer who had agoraphobia, fear of open places. That meant she couldn't drive on the expressway, she couldn't take us to the mall, and my sisters and I had to do most of the grocery shopping because she said the shiny linoleum floors at Handy Andy made her feel like she was gonna fall out. She worried about everything. She'd say, "I smell gas. Do you smell it?" And I'd say, "No." "Well, I do. Do y'all smell it?" My sisters would say, "No, ma'am." When my dad came home from the office, she'd say, "Jimmy, I think we have a gas leak." And he'd say, "Oh, hell, Phyllis, quit being so goddamn spastic." And she'd say, "Well, Jimmy, whatever you do, don't light your cigar or we might all explode." When I was about 11, my sisters drove me out to Mr. W Fireworks. And they had these things there called cigarette loads, which gave me a great idea because my mom smoked Salem Lights 100s. When we got home, I waited till the coast was clear, then swiped a pack off the kitchen counter. I took out all her cigarettes, and then I pushed the cigarette load into the tobacco end of one of her cigarettes. And then I put them all randomly back in the pack and waited. I waited for 2 days. And I even forgot I had done it until that night when I was watching Barnaby Jones with my dad in the living room. We heard this, pow! I knew exactly what had happened because my mom always leaned over and lit her cigarettes off our gas stove. My dad and I ran in there. She was slumped over the butcher block. The cigarette was still in her hand, but it was blown up like a big pom-pom. She said, "Oh, Jimmy, Jimmy, the stove exploded. I told you we had a gas leak." My dad said, "Oh, calm down, Phyllis, you're fine." I knew he was on to me, even before I denied it. And then when I did, I got in huge trouble for lying. Even worse, when I grew up, I was walking down my street in my neighborhood, and I thought, "Oh no, I smell gas. Do my neighbors have a gas leak? I need to take down the address. Should I call City Public Service or just go up to their door? If someone drives down the street and drops a cigarette out of the window, half my neighbors will die." And then I stood on the side of the road and said out loud, "Shut up, Phyllis." My dad was the complete opposite of my mom. He wanted every day to be a party with him as the honoree. He was notorious for going up on stage at weddings and shows and taking the microphone away from people to do his own monologue. He even did it to Bob Hope once. I don't know, maybe we do turn into our parents. I mean, look at me, a scared, shitless writer up here hogging the microphone. But I do know one thing. Recently, both my parents died, and now that they're gone, I would do just about anything to get them back. After my mom died, I needed closure, and I was trying to figure out a way to be on the planet without a mother. So I went to her best friend, Miss Tassis's house, and I was sitting at the kitchen table with her. And everything in that house was exactly the same as it had always been. The only thing that was different was that my mom wasn't there with us with her gin martini. So everything was different. And I was trying to tell Miss Tassis how I had been so devastated when I got a call saying my mom died unexpectedly while I was out of the country. And while I was telling her the story, her son just came in, started hugging and kissing me, interrupted me like all Greek people do. So I tried to get back. I tried to refocus on my story. I really wanted Miss Tassis to hear me. And then she interrupted me. She said, "Danny, where are the ribs?" And he said, "Sorry, Mom, they said they ran out of ribs today." And she said, "Well, what are we supposed to have for supper?" And I looked at both of them and I was thinking, "Hi, I'm really, really sad here." But they needed to figure out their dinner plan. I know that they both really loved my mom, but they have moved on. Then about 2 months ago, I went to a store to buy a baby outfit for my new nephew that my niece and her wife are fostering to adopt. So I went into the store, and I was talking to the lady behind the counter, and we were talking about Dia de los Muertos and the painted skulls she sells in her stores. And eventually, we started talking for some reason about Donald Trump and how he had thrown paper towels at a crowd of people in Puerto Rico, hurricane survivors, as if to say, "I'm really sorry, here you go, get started without me." I just shook my head and she shook her head and I said, "I don't know. The world is just in a really weird place right now." And she said, "Oh my gosh, the hairs just stood up on my arm when you said that." And I said, "Why?" And she said, "I don't know. I guess everything that's going on in the world, we just have to figure out what to do, do our best, and keep going." And then she said, "Actually, my son died recently. That's him over there in the corner." And I was like, "What?" I looked over in the corner, and there was a shrine, and in the middle, there was a photograph of her adult son smiling back at me, which made me think of my own adult son. And I said, "Oh my God, that is terrible." And she said, "No, it's okay. He was sick a lot. He was epileptic. He had seizures all the time. In the end, he was having like 40 seizures a day." And I said, "That must have been so terrible for both of you." And she said, "It really was. I worried about him all the time. And I tried to prepare him. I told him, 'I'm getting up there. I'm not going to be here forever. Someday it's just going to be you here.'" And she said, "He didn't understand that. So she said, 'Well, you know how I'm here talking to you right now?' And he said, 'Yeah.' And then she said, she went in the next room and then went behind a wall. And she said, 'Do you still think I'm here talking to you?' And he said, 'Yeah.' And she said, 'That's it. I'll still be here with you. You just won't be able to see me anymore.'" And she said, "You know what the really strange thing about that was? The whole time I thought I was preparing him for the day when I wouldn't be here anymore. And really, God was preparing me for the day when my son wouldn't be here anymore." Her story made me think about my mom and how after she had died, I pretended that heaven was just another city that she had moved to so I wouldn't miss her so much. Like death is just a change of address, and that someday I'll be able to go visit her. So she started folding up the onesie that I had bought that her daughter had made, and it said, "Somos todos primos." And I said, "That means we're all cousins, right?" She said, "Well, yeah, literally. But really, it means we're all family. We're all connected." And then she said, you know, I'm really sorry I told you about my son. I mean, you're a customer. I'm so sorry. And I said, no, I am not one bit sorry. I am so glad you told me. Because the story you told me about your son fits with something my mom's best friend said. And now I'm starting to realize some things. I realized that when somebody we love dies, we're still alive, even though it doesn't even feel like it half the time. And we have to keep going. We have to just continue on without them, because the world isn't going to stop and wait for any of us, even if there's a death in the family. When your son or your father or your mother dies, somebody's still got to buy the ribs.